And everybody said, amen. Amen. I understand I can wish a happy anniversary to Steve and Marcia Marash. 45 years. Congratulations. If it's okay that I did that, you're welcome, Marcia. And if it's not, it's all Steve's fault. So glad to have you here. Philippians 4, 8, and 9. It reads in every Bible almost the same with a little bit different wording. In the New American, it says, finally, brethren, that includes the ladies, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good reputation, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Think on these things, ponder these things. In the agricultural world, it would be ruminate on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, says Paul. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And the God of peace shall be with you. So I've been thinking of the significance of those two short verses. And it occurs to me that growing up in a Christian home and going to Sunday school every week, absolutely amazing gift. And if we've had the privilege of having any kind of formal or informal Bible study, education, great gift. Cherish it to the max. If we have marriage and family and friends and church that all help us focus on living correctly, all gifts. Wonderful as all that is, if we fail to think on these things, I don't think we'll be of much use in God's kingdom work. So I guess to say it another way, if we're focused on thinking on these things because human actions are the product of human thoughts. We are what we think. Thinking is a higher priority than doing. All of my growing up years, I was taught what I needed to do and not do, and I'm grateful for that. And a lot of my time in church has been focused on doing and not doing, and I'm grateful for that. But thinking results in doing. So the first priority is thinking right, and then doing comes out of that. That's way too simple, isn't it? Way too simple and powerfully important and profound. So these verses, these words are huge because human actions are the product of human thoughts. We need to ponder them and follow them. So I'm going to kind of just walk through our notes. Lack of thinking results in hasty actions. I don't know of a better or worse example of this, of lack of thinking resulting in hasty actions, than to go back to the garden and think about Adam and Eve. What were they thinking? Or obviously they were not thinking. And hey, they had perfect minds. They didn't know what sin was. The closest thing they knew to what I struggle with every day, the potential of doing wrong, the closest thing they knew to that, the closest thing they knew to anything less than holiness, was that God said, stay away from that tree over there, because if you eat from that, you will die. And there's this idea of the knowledge of good and evil. Lack of thinking results in hasty actions. So the tempter came to them, and he offered them this tremendous opportunity, which can be boiled down to the simple statement of, you could be God. He said, no, he wouldn't have said anything that drastic. No, he didn't. But that's what he implied. Here's this creator God that has put them in this amazing environment. And the counterfeit God, Satan, says, you're lacking something. What could that possibly be? Well, you could be God yourself. You could be like God. They might as well have come right out and said, you can be your own God. You know what? That's as relevant as life on planet Earth, August 18th, 2019. No, it's, yeah. 10:08 a.m. That's humanism. And that's what the world teaches us. Usually not in those terms. That's what every false religion teaches us. God isn't really God. You probably really can't trust him. When we get down to the first statement, think on whatever is true, what's being challenged any more than that today? On all levels of society. What is truth? Pilate's not the first one that asked that question. Counterfeit God asked it in the garden. What is truth? He didn't put it in those words, but that's what was there. Lack of thinking results in hasty actions. There isn't an honest adult on planet Earth who wouldn't admit that we have made some poor decisions because we didn't think first. We did something in haste that we didn't need to hurry about. Wow. And wrong thinking leads to poor decisions. If we don't think at all, we'll make a hasty decision. Might be right. Often it'll be wrong. Wrong thinking, I would say, is when we have options in front of us and we have some awareness of what would be right and what would be wrong in this situation. We have a sense of it. Maybe we've been taught it. Maybe it's directly in God's word. Maybe it's one of those that we call kind of a gray area that depends on what angle you're coming from. And we make the wrong choice, a poor choice, a poor decision. I think King David was in that frame of mind when he sinned with Bathsheba. That was adultery and deceit and murder and cover up. The max. David knew better. He wasn't thinking right. He simply wasn't thinking right. If anybody ever had the right information to think correctly in that situation, it was King David, right? He knew the law. He knew about worship. He was close to God during almost all of his life. But for a short period of time, he let human impulse and desire overtake him And he thought incorrectly. He thought wrongly, and he made a horrible decision. And it cost him so much, and it brought heartache to so many. It was wrong thinking. Most of the time, David thought right. Wouldn't you agree? From a young kid on, he was thinking right. When he went down and faced Goliath, he was thinking right. People thought he was crazy, but he was thinking right because he looked at Goliath through the eyes of faith. And Goliath was dishonoring Creator God. And David says, that's not right. And he knew he wasn't the one that was capable of taking out Goliath. He knew that God was the one, and God would simply use him to take him out. He was thinking correctly. He was thinking correctly when he wrote so many of those psalms and when he made so many good decisions over and over again. Called in Scripture a man after God's own heart. But at a point in time, he was so wrong in his thoughts. And he made such a poor decision. It can happen to any one of us. It starts in the mind. And it becomes actions. Right thoughts, right thinking are the foundation of good choices. Thinking right results in good choices. You know, this is so obvious and it's so simple that I've thought to myself, why are you spending a whole Sunday talking about this? And I know the answer to that because I've studied it over and over again and I still don't always think correctly and make the right choices. And you might be in company with me, but I won't accuse you of anything. Think of good old Daniel. Right thoughts are the foundation of good choices. Why would Daniel, in the environment in which he found himself in Babylon, make a decision, or as the old King James says, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's food and drink? Why would he do that? He knew the information. He knew what was right. And he thought on it. And his thoughts turned into action. And he has an amazing story, example of right living. You could add Joseph to that. Joseph, when he was approached by Potiphar's wife, thought correctly. And he let those thoughts become his choices. So right thinking is the foundation for good choices and right living. If our life is focused on positive thoughts, we will most likely have little or no time to entertain hurtful thinking. Isn't that fun? We don't have to be living a defeated life. We don't have to be continually mopping up messes that we make based on bad choices and bad decisions. We don't have to do that. There's plenty righteous, holy, truthful things to think about that will turn into righteous, holy, truthful living to take up our time. So it'll make us stop and say, what am I reading? And what kind of media in any form is filling my thoughts? And what about my conversations with other people? Are they wholesome? Are they bringing about good thoughts, good thinking, purity, holiness? And what about my free time? When I don't have a commitment and I don't have a deadline and nobody's waiting for me to finish something, what's in my thoughts? What's there? Because, honestly, we are what we think. We are what we think. Good and not so good. So I think I could quit there, and we'd have enough to work on from now to the end of our life. But Paul didn't. He says, let me tell you what you ought to think about. And it's so interesting to me that in verse 9, he says, you've learned them, you've received them, you heard them, and you've seen them in me, Paul. What a statement. I've modeled this for you. You've learned them. David had learned the right thing to think and to do. And he did wrong. Daniel had learned the right thing to think and to do. And he did right. Paul says, you folks at Philippi, you've learned this stuff. What I'm telling you is not something new. You've learned it. You probably memorized it. You probably got the Sunday school award for it. You probably have the pins for perfect attendance. And unless you're an old timer in church, you don't even know what that's about. You got the star on the chart. You got to say it in front of the church. You learned it. You memorized it. You received it. It became a part of you. You're not a novice. You're maturing in this whole thing of thinking right. You've heard it. And in parental form, I think he would say, and we would identify with, you've heard it over and over and over again. Teachers say this. Parents say this. How many times have I told you that? And then he puts the clincher. You've seen it in me. That gets very personal. People should be able to follow. Those of us who know Jesus and know how to think correctly, which will turn into correct actions, attitudes, and choices. Because we're all what we think. Proverbs 23:7 in the context is a little bit different. But as a sliver of what I think is biblical truth, basically says, as we think, so we are. We're a product of our thinking. I realize from my own life and from Paul's life and from examples all through Scripture that in this body, in this life, none of us ever reaches perfect thinking that turns into perfect actions. We won't. This body likes evil. It likes to be selfish. It likes to do its own thing. It likes to think for itself. And when it's thinking for itself, it isn't necessarily thinking God thoughts. So we will continually, to the end of our earth life, no matter how much we study, how much we share, how much we practice, we will never feel a sense of perfection. I'm finally thinking perfectly and resulting in perfect actions. That's heaven. That's to be looked forward to. We won't have this struggle anymore in heaven. But I can't let myself off the hook. I've had enough years and enough training and enough example from other people and enough opportunity to practice and enough experience of what happens when I think incorrectly that turns into poor decisions. I've been at this thing long enough that really poor decisions should be becoming less and less. They should be on the shrink. And Paul, I think, so rightfully could make the statement that he did, because for this bunch of years, his experience was less and less of his own selfish focus and more of Christ. He was not claiming perfection. Paul would be the first one to say that he hadn't arrived. Isn't that encouraging? It is to me. And then he just gets specific, and we can buzz through those because they're pretty obvious. What should we think about? Whatever is true, whatever is truth. Pilate's not the first one who said, what is truth? Satan made up new truth. Adam and Eve were in a place where they were surrounded by absolute truth in the presence of God. And Satan came along and said, well, there's more to truth than Creator God truth. Let me tell you what the rest of truth is. Today it's being called alternative truth, or truth that can be defined in a variety of ways. You know, this book is a record of truth. And if you can't give God the benefit of the doubt and by faith accept his directive as truth, then the door is wide open for anything and everything to clutter up what truth might possibly be. And that is so narrow that it's absolutely disgusting to most people on planet Earth. And to me, it's absolutely comforting and wonderful. I don't care anymore whether somebody wants to argue and think that this book is God's truth. I don't care whether they think it is or not. They'll find out that it is. And I believe it. I can't explain it all. There's stuff in there that doesn't make sense to me. There's a lot of things that God does and doesn't do that trouble me. But it never makes me question whether he's truth or not. Because he is. And when I'm thinking that way, life goes well. Truth comes from God. You need to think on it. What is truth? What is honorable? Honesty. Total and consistent honesty. Right down to the penny. Right down to the conversation. Right down to the area of what we know and don't know. And what we can admit that we don't know. If we want to have any effectiveness in kingdom work, we better have a reputation of being honest. And when something comes along that messes with our honesty, as soon as we figure it out, we better confess that and admit it. Because our integrity, ultimately, it's really all we have. And people of integrity are worth following. Honorable, honesty, total, consistent focus on integrity. And think about what's right, what's righteous, what's holy. The Bible says, be holy because God is holy. Holiness. If we're going to think holy thoughts, from what little television that I watch, most of it will have to go away. Fortunately, that's not a problem for me. I don't even know how to turn on our television. I have to say, Carol, will you turn the television on? I'd like to watch the news. She does. Would you fast forward through the commercials? She does. I don't think I'm missing very much, do you? Think about what's right. What's righteous. What's holy. And pure. Clean. Jesus says the lamp of the body is the eye. So what is coming in here that affects how we think and how we act? Purity. What is lovely? acceptable. I think a key word there is gracious. It's a harsh world, isn't it? There's so much hatred. There's so much ugliness. There's so much heartache. Paul says, think about what's lovely. Think about what's really acceptable. Because that'll come out in living that is gracious. Gracious people warm us, encourage us, give us hope, give us peace. Oh, he says, and also think about what's lovely, acceptable, and with that, what is attractive, what's reputable, what has a good reputation. You know, our reputation today is so significant. And when life is over for us, they get rid of our body, life goes on without us. What really lingers? Isn't it our reputation? Isn't that our legacy? So the legacy, the reputation that we leave after this life is the reputation that we're building today, and that is a result of thinking correctly turned into right living. Oh, I so want to have young people understand this. Because some of those decisions that are made in youth often put a mark on life that can never totally be changed. The scar is there. Legacy. Think about what is attractive. Think about what will be remembered. That's a good thing to think about. If we're in a discussion with somebody in a disagreement, and we need to have that discussion, and we may need to agree to disagree, there's room for that. But will the other person remember our attitude? Did we treat them with respect? We maintained our position because we're convinced we're right, but we showed value for them as an individual. We were gracious. And they say, you know, I'll never agree with that person. But I think they value me. Powerful. Reputation. And think about what is excellent. What has virtue? Virtue is a word that isn't used a lot nowadays. I think it means good to the core. You have this beautiful apple that has this attractive outside, and you cut it open and it's mealy and brown and not good to the core. It's being for real on the inside. What is it that is excellent, that is so much a part of us that we're virtuous? Or good to the core. And then he says, if there's anything praiseworthy, I think the word really there could be commendable. Think on these things. Maybe we could summarize that one with gratefulness. So as I have worked through this again, and I'm with you, Tim, these verses come back often, and sometimes when I'm struggling with an issue, I find myself disciplining my mind to go through this list and say, I need to focus on what is true, what is honorable, what is righteous, what is pure, what is acceptable, what leaves the right legacy, what is excellent, what's worthy of praise. And somehow that kind of clears the clutter of the immediate thing and brings the focus back where it belongs. Because it's true. We are what we think. That's who we are. In any given moment, our life experience is what we're thinking about. and thoughts that continue to build and to dwell, either for good or for evil, result in actions that show who we really are and what we're really thinking. Father, I don't know how to take something that's so profound, so obvious, and treat it correctly. So may your Spirit guide to each of us something that we need from these thoughts today. Because I know that each of us in this room wants to be a person who lives correctly by your standards. And we admit that our thoughts are continually bombarded, and they're not always good things that are there. We are surrounded by evil. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that took care of our sin problem that got us into your family. We believe that Jesus is God. We've trusted our life through him to you, Creator God. Thank you for that security and that hope of eternity with you, where there will be no question of how we will think. It'll all be perfect. This day, thank you for guiding our thoughts to be the right kind of thoughts that will result in actions that honor you. I give you thanks for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.